The order 601, we do have a quorum.
Attendance, Kathy Mowry, Jimmy Walker, Janet Neighbors, Tommy McEwen. No guest. Greg Roman.
Hello.
There's no training. There's just food.
Everybody else has been a little skeptical because I had food.
I got time to sneak out. All three of us.
Help yourself.
All right. Approved consent items on agenda? Or do you want to do closed session first?
We can go ahead
Consent. Okay. All right. Approved minutes from prior meeting. And approve monthly revenue and expenditure reports. Motion?
I'll make a motion.
Tommy? Janet, second motion. All approved? All that's present approved? Do I need to say which ones or just
no,
that?
That's okay. Fine.
Okay. All right. Ready for that then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Board of Trustees on October 20th, 2025 began at 6:02. Convened in closed session in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. The board ended its closed session at 6:10 on October 20th, 2025.
I don't have any budget amendments. I just like to keep that on there in case something comes up. I will say that having to post the agenda a full week early leaves me kind of guessing on some things. Like the next thing is tax rolls. We've always gotten our tax rolls by now, but we don't have them. I went ahead and put it on there because I anticipated getting them today. They didn't come in, so we won't take any action on that either. But I posted on Monday. On Tuesday, TASB sent us update 126, and it's 1,348 pages long. So we couldn't address that on this meeting because I'd already posted it. So it's going to kind of cause us a little bit of back and forth. The only other action item I have is policy revisions from when I did the policy review on September 9th. And this is when the lady from TASB came down and she and I spent the whole day and we went policy by policy. I think yours is just a one pager, a list of the. And then I have copies of all of it if you'd like to see it. But we went policy by policy, like, do we do this? Or if we don't, what do we do? And so then she would match what our practice actually is in all the things. So we just got everything back up to speed and how we actually operate day to day. So we do have, I do have a list here that we can make one motion for all of them if you want to, but then I have to turn in this that's a board response, yes or no to all of them. Is there anything in there that you guys had questions about, what any of that was? The first one's just talking about our District of Innovation Plan. The first two actually talk about
that. There's nothing significant or anything that we're not doing or changing.
No.
And these are all the legal TASB stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
And they're all local policies. Yeah. None of them are legal. They're all local.
Do I need to call them all out or can we just make a general
statement? I think
statement?
You can say resulting from the policy review.
Okay. Resulting from the policy review of revisions, deletions of local policies. Do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Tommy?
Second.
Greg? Second. All approved that are here.
Okay, so moving into discussion items. Property acquisition, our closing date is set for Wednesday at 1. And I'll put this in there for you to see if you want to look at it. I had to highlight mine to know where the boundary lines just to go over it and see. But all of that is ours, will be ours now.
That's what I mean.
So if y'all want to pass, if it's easier to pass that one around and look. I went through the description line by line and made the marks.
Out on there? That isn't in there on there?
We already own that. That's
okay,
what
see,
we
that's
bought
what
from
you did.
David.
Okay, but this, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
So I was like, wait a minute.
And then behind that, I just put the settlement page so you could see everything, how it settles out. So what we're going to owe is
$31,679.93.
Yes, thank you. I was like, I just went and got the cashier's check today. It's in the safe to take to closing. But we had to have the minutes that we signed tonight. I have to take those with us, too. So that's why we chose Wednesday. And then Chris is busy tomorrow. So that includes the survey and the title insurance on our part. So do y'all have any questions or anything about that? As of Wednesday afternoon, it will be ours. Justin did want me to let you know that he had talked to Chandler, and Chandler said at some point Eddie buried like a butane tank or something. There's some kind of tank buried over here. And so before we go digging around, we need to locate that. So I'm telling somebody else so that somebody else can help me remember.
And it's on the recording.
Propane tank, not buried.
Butane tank. Okay. Library materials review, I put that in here too. There's three pages. So we posted that October 6th on the website. It has to be on the website for 30 days. And then I have to present it to you at least a week before we adopt it. So I'll put it on the November meeting to actually approve those books to come into the library. Most of them are from our book fair that she pulled from the shelves. Some of them are donated. Transportation update. Right now it's a discussion item. We will have to I'll have to make a formal proposal to you at some point after the first of the year, but all buses are required to have three-point seat belts on them. Well, it's not a matter of just changing them out in the seats or changing the seats out. Right now, there's only one company that is certified. Imagine the backlog and the cost to actually renovate a bus. So honestly, it's probably going to be in our best interest to start looking at new buses. There is a thing to say that if we can't afford to replace all buses, or, you know, we need to have a plan or something going forward. So several of our buses have lap belts, but they only have them like four rows back because that's how they were built for so long. But like I said, we have the four buses. We have five, two little ones, and then the three big buses. It's the three big buses we're going to really need to pay attention to, which they're an 08, a 12, and a 16. The 16's our newest bus. So I've got a webinar Thursday morning with a guy about a grant on some EV buses. That kind of scares me, I'm not going to lie. Especially when they said the range is 150 miles. I was like, well, we can't go on field trips in them. We might could run routes in them, though. So, depends on, I mean, if we could get a grant to buy it, then I will take that.
Yeah.
It's free money, then.
Right. But I don't know. I'll have more at the November meeting to know a little bit more about that. And then facilities planning. So I think we're going to have to scale down. I know we're going to have to scale down what we wanted because I wanted kitchen cafeteria. That's our biggest need. And then classrooms. Because, guys, we're meeting like in the concession stand, the counselors in the foyer. You might have counselor in the foyer and ISS in concession stand and speech lady in the weight room. And, I mean, they're literally everywhere. We don't have other places for them to go.
It's going to get worse next year because we're going to have, you know, Algebra 1 having to be taught as well. And
we have to split out another class.
Yeah.
But borrowing power, for a time warrant, you can only borrow $1 million. Well, we have $500,000 tied up in our gym still. And then there's only five ways that a school can borrow money. And bond is one of them. And I've told them I just don't think we can pass a bond. I emailed CW back today and said, what could we do to scale down a little bit if we did, like, kitchen cafeteria and connected that to the main building with maybe just a reception or entrance area, connected that part. And then once we move those out, we might be able to renovate where the kitchen is now and maybe the library and buy more room, you know, get us a little bit of space there, or where the cafeteria is, maybe build a couple more classrooms in there somehow. And he thought it would run, if we make the cafeteria like a tornado shelter, he said it's probably going to run about $2 million. He said it will be, it's going to be less if we don't, probably 1.7, 1.8, something like that. So I would say $2 million is doable, because I think we could pull out from fund balance. For sure we could pull $1 million out, because if you look at the finance thing, it's not really a true reflection in Lone Star of what that is, because that flushed out before I made the transaction to, before we got our settle up money and I put money back. So it has 2.5 in there right now, and I moved 315,000 in there. So really it's got 2.8 and a half. So I mean, easily I would think we could spend $1 million on that and then just finance the rest of whatever we could.
So are we bound to just 500,000 since we've got 500 tied up?
Mm-hmm.
That's your chance.
Or pay that off and then borrow new, you know, and start again, however we wanted to do that. Do y'all have any suggestions, or would it be easier to build? It's cheaper to build just classrooms, if we just build classrooms and don't build kitchen cafeteria. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
That's our big need right now, is cafeteria.
Cafeteria space is okay. The kitchen space is pretty limited. The prepping.
Yes, to get the kids out faster.
But how do you feel like it's going? I mean, we added some space in there. We added a 4-foot table in there.
If they could add a room to the cafeteria, we just need some more classrooms.
We need more classrooms.
Like even if it's just a little room, for specials.
Like offices, yeah.
Yes,
for counselor, speech,
all those things. I just feel so bad for them having to do it all.
I do too.
Wherever. What's on the other side of the cafeteria? I can't remember. That direction.
Of the...
Not the cafeteria.
The kitchen?
The kitchen.
The kitchen's the outside wall, because the freezer's out there. And then it's a hallway on one side, and then offices. But the offices are upstairs, so they're pier and beam. And that cafeteria, that kitchen sunk down. So, I don't know. And I can talk to him about that too. If we could survive, if we could keep the kitchen cafeteria, if we could make that work and build some classrooms in between to connect. Right now, Miss Bolden meets in the cafeteria for RTI one period a day. We have special ed. We have content mastery and resource happening in Julia's little room, where I used to be in the middle of pre-KK in that little room. So, I mean, ideally, we're going to need to separate those out eventually.
Isn't there kind of a courtyard between the kitchen and another classroom over there?
Yes.
And yes, it's got a building out there, but I mean that a metal building, but it's slab out there. So
could that be just...
Didn't he give us a quote on that before or something?
No, he ended up doing it for how we built the classrooms in there. Because I'd asked him, would it be easier to build out there? And he said probably not. Okay. Not in keeping under the threshold. I still think, and maybe that's something we do on our own without an architect, I don't know. I still don't know why we couldn't use those two classrooms, the art and history and Miss Murphy's room, as the kitchen and the serving line and the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And if we could do that, we could keep what cafeteria we have, and then we could just build classrooms somewhere else. But we might have to do that on our own. I mean, the architect is saying he doesn't think there's enough room there, but in my mind, I'm like, well, it's almost double what they have now. You know, so
What do you have to, what is the threshold that you have to have an architect?
Well, anything that we're going to spend more than $50,000 on that we're going to put kids in or people in, we need an engineer and architect to sign off on it. Okay. But if it's a remodel, like we can redo classrooms however we want to, because I didn't use it with those two classrooms because Brady kept it under the $50,000.
Well, that's what I'm talking about over there with them. You don't have to have an architect to tear the wall and
right. No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't. Okay. So that's why I said we might be able to do that. And maybe we do that in the future. Maybe we build classrooms and then later we come in and try to expand that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that it just sounds like a fabulous setup if we had those two classrooms, cafeteria. It's just like you walk in that door, walk out that door, go into the cafeteria. Because we have enough room in the cafeteria.
We have plenty of room in the cafeteria. That's not the problem. It's just the kitchen. So, and then once we move all that stuff out of the kitchen, that space is going to be a good size. Like if we move the library down there or if we, you know, something like that, then that would free up the library as a classroom. But somehow I would still like to connect the main building and the gym to get classrooms in there and to get everybody under one roof. So
you can't build out, I say, in front toward the cafeteria with the kitchen to you enough to make a line go through there and come back out.
Out into the yard this way?
No, make it where the kitchen is now. If you built out toward the cafeteria enough that the line could feed through there and come around and come back into the cafeteria.
I don't think you could do it because that hallway's there. I think they would be in the hallway. You know, I mean, like how they line up in that hallway now. I think we would block that.
No, I was thinking about bringing them the opposite direction. Bring them from toward the front door and bring them out.
I'll just switch it.
Coming in the opposite way.
Opposite direction. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, would that give them more room in the cafeteria if you move the serving line and the cafeteria more out toward the cafeteria, give them more room back there to cook and stuff, and then have kind of a serving line that just comes from over toward the front door? Because the slowdown is not the going out. The slowdown is going in, right?
The slowdown is inside there. They don't have enough room to put prepped food out. So every kid that comes in, they're having to scoop up beans and corn and this and that, you know. And so if they could already have all that, if they had table space enough that they could already have that lined out and kids just walked through and took what they wanted.
But if you moved it toward the cafeteria, took out that wall, brought it out, and make the serving line the entire width of the cafeteria. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So we'd lose space that
make
way?
Like the entire width.
You'd lose
I don't
space
know.
In the cafeteria,
which
but
we
you'd
really
gain
can't
space in
afford to lose space in the cafeteria. I mean, like, we're doing good, but to lose space might be, I don't know how much.
Yeah, because we're going to have to add
because we're already
10, 15 foot at the most. Maybe not even that much. But you'd have that. You could have
that's a load-bearing wall across there because I'm a load-bearing wall going across there because when we cut that opening bigger, it's a concrete wall.
Oh, I'm just trying to think off the wall what you could do. Try to get a wider space to
right
so that they don't actually have to go into the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Right. So well, that's why I said ideally those two classrooms because they're already connected.
Yeah.
Would make the most sense to me, but like I said, I don't know. But I do know classrooms, you know, the kitchen is definitely a priority, but classrooms have really become a priority here lately.
So if you take those two classrooms, what do you put them into? A new?
We would have to build classrooms. And it's cheaper to build classrooms than it is kitchen. The kitchen's what's
more expensive. Than building a new kitchen, is it?
Except the kitchen is, except for science.
So we build the classrooms first, then we're going to have the classrooms, then we can, like you said,
then we could
then worry about the
plan
kitchen.
A second phase to that for the kitchen. So. You're thinking.
Mm-hmm. What classrooms are you talking about using for the cafeteria?
Where Murphy's is and art and history.
Is that where Jesse's old room?
Jesse's old room.
Okay. They used to be the cafeteria.
Used to be the cafeteria.
It
yeah.
was.
When I started, that was the cafeteria. That's where we all ate lunch.
We had 100 small, a lot smaller.
But,
like,
yeah.
100
kids.
So if you use that for the cafeteria, could you put two more classrooms or at least one more in the old gym?
Well, I was thinking use that for the kitchen.
Okay.
And then leave the cafeteria where it was.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we could open up the cafeteria since it's already open and got a couple of entrances. We could put mm-hmm. the library down in there.
Mm-hmm. And then classroom in the library.
The classroom in the library.
Which, by the way, that was my third grade getting grade getting back in the library with his mother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the kitchen. Yeah. Would it make you hard class. To get to the two new classrooms that are in the gym if you put the kitchen where the cafeteria is now?
The two classrooms we already have in there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Because it'd still be funneling out of there, coming to the cafeteria.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I like the idea of the stay in. If you do that part first, that gives you what, 4 classrooms?
We could do 4. I think he had it where, I mean, he's got different options that he had worked up, 4 or 5, and then that restrooms right. in that hallway. And then one of the hallways would be shelter so that we, because we'll have to do away with those 2 storm shelters out there, but that hallway would be. But it would connect them.
Explore that a little bit and see what kind of change that makes.
Okay. Yeah, I can call him tomorrow and talk to him and just say.
Especially if we can phase into the other after that and cover it through us.
Right.
We could move Staley over there, and then this could be like a specials. That way kids aren't coming across the parking lot at all. We're right. all over there. Except for specials, but she walks with
but
them.
But she's with, someone's
yeah,
with
like
them
counselor
all the time.
Or speech. Yeah. And so that could become that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we leave Jesse in her room, you know, because
right.
that's a
if you don't
permanent
have that big
building.
Of a space, you divide it.
Yeah.
And it yes. becomes an office area for
right.
one or the other,
yes.
or a meeting place. Or
right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love connecting the gym to the building. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I do.
I think long term we need to do that yeah. just for safety, mm-hmm. To put everybody under one building.
Yes.
So. Okay. I'll kind of talk through some other ideas with him. So I'll have more come November. More ideas. Okay, that's all I have.
Are we moving to me?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all, it's a lot. I'm sorry. Like, October is the longest year ever. We thought August was, but I forgot. October is exhausting. So sorry I'm still in my pajamas because it was pajama day, Red Ribbon Week. So I didn't have time to go and change. It's been a crazy day. And I was dress coded by a parent whenever I had to dress code her kid a few weeks ago. So I'm like, I hope they don't see me today because I got an ugly text about my dress. So I was like, well, I hope she didn't see me today because I was in my pajamas. okay, so school news. Sports highlights, cross country. So proud of them. Both teams were runners up. Sage was our only district champion. Levi Newland came in close with a 2nd place finish. Volleyball, we had another winning season. We narrowly missed the district title. We did have several milestones that were reached throughout. Sage Keck, she set a new school record for 31 digs in a single match, which is amazing for especially a junior high girl. Football team went undefeated for the first time since 2019. Our second year of football.
Year.
A banner, once they take their pictures, we'll hang a banner in the new gym. So a tie goes down as a win because they did tie St. Joe in a very exciting, 47-47 or something yeah. game.
Parents ask, and the language we used was an undefeated season, so they technically weren't defeated.
Yes.
But.
I got to tell you about your Prairie Valley game. You had it at Goldberg.
Uh-huh.
I went to the game, and they had the scoreboard.
Yes, their scoreboard went out, yes.
Yeah, in the stands. And you had, who were the 2 little boys? Up there?
Our 2 fifth grade managers.
Yeah, okay. And they're sitting behind me. And they're trying to run the scoreboard. And one of them says, "We can't do this." And the other one said, "Go tell the coach. We don't know what we're doing. We can't do this."
Who was it, Leroy and?
Rocker. Rocker. Rob is one of the other kids. Yeah. And he goes, "We can't do this. Go tell the coach. We can't do this. We quit." And he started upset. I said, wait a minute, guys. It's not this hard. So
you
I
can
moved
do
up
it.
Their bottom, and I said, put your finger on the clock, on and off. Okay, I'll tell you when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And so, then they were score. What did he score? I said, yeah. Well, he gets 1 point. No, I said, one for running it in on this. Two if he kicks it. But we're not kicking it. And they run it all through. And they got two. And he said, man, I want to have to thank you for that.
Oh, sweet
But
boys.
I couldn't believe they just got up and said, we can't do this.
We can't do this.
Zero grit.
Where's
zero
grit?
One take
eagle grit.
That's so funny.
Well, thank goodness the school board at St. Joe worked, because that game was so back and forth, it was hard for anybody to keep up.
We had borrowed that from Nocona, that little portable, day, because Goldberg didn't even tell us. Oh, yeah, we heard secondhand coach heard, hey, I think their scoreboard's not working. What are we going to do? I was like, let me call Nocona. Were they not going to tell us the scoreboard wasn't working till we got there? Cheerleading. Of course, our cheerleaders are the foundation of our school spirit. They've done just excellent. So Coach Roman and their squad will now shift towards preparing for spring competitions, which they started last year, and with an additional pep rally before the first basketball game this year, which that'll be new. And we had Cole Pittman represent us at the Monte County All-Star Games in St. Joe last week. He got to pick somebody to go with him since he was the only one, so he picked his cousin Sawyer to compete alongside him. The Healers took them because we were doing interim testing. And they just did so good. They just represented us so well and had so much fun. It's an all-day deal. It's pretty tiring, I think, for him especially. Fundraising success. So, man, book fair, we raised $4,000. Last year we raised $4,700, so we're short $700. However, we did the Big Kahuna fundraiser the month before, so I was surprised we raised this much. And then the Big Kahuna, y'all, we profited $10,000, almost $10,000. So it's amazing what those kids will do to ride on the Big Kahuna bus and get to go eat pizza. So that's what we did. It was so fun. And we took them over to the Bowie Park, ate pizza. They got to play a little bit. And so that was fun. School highlights, we had the NED show. It's a assembly encouraging students to never, NED stands for never give up, encourage others, do your best. And it's free to us. It's through a pay it forward event, and so then they sell yo-yos afterwards, and that goes towards pay it forward to the next school. So celebrate Freedom Week, which is required by TEA. Students in grades 3 through 8 participated. All things, social studies, Bill of Rights, Heroes of Freedom, preamble, all those things. Our fifth graders even sang the Star Spangled Banner. So anyway, things going on all during that week. We had our first Eagle Magic Assembly last week. 3 8th graders led us through that. Usually try to it's very awkward sometimes for those who was here. Were you
I was here?
It's very awkward, but you know what? I'm like, you know what? It needs to be student-led because we're all about student leadership here, and it's great for them to get up in front of a crowd. I know if I would have been able, at that age, to get used to that, I would be a better public speaker because I lose a lot of things when I get in front of people sometimes. And so I'm like, okay, let's start them out really young, and they're so nervous, and they're can't pronounce names, and so I stand real close to them and try to guide them through it. But I thought it went pretty good, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, just a few hiccups. But employee of the 9 weeks, Emily Weaver, our first grade teacher, was selected by her coworkers. And that can be any employee, maintenance, teachers, aides, whatever. And so she was selected, which I was glad. She works really hard, and she hasn't qualified for TIA yet. But she's only in her third year, so she's just worked really hard and been a little defeated the last few years. So I'm hoping she gets some success this year. But it's not easy. I think people don't understand that we have such a, we're so a tenured staff, I guess you would say, with so many years of experience. And so a lot of them got that master's right off the bat, the exemplary. Well, they've been teaching for many years. It's hard for a first year teacher to come in there and just right off the bat get it. And I try to tell her that, but she's young. She's the young one of the bunch. She's surrounded by a bunch of tenured teachers. So teacher incentive allotment, speaking of updates. So we have our last day of interim testing tomorrow. While data reveals areas for growth so far, we'll review them in the coming weeks. I'm going to tell you, our math looked really good today. I haven't even talked to you. I haven't had a chance. Our math looked really good today. Our third grade math. It's the first time those third graders have ever even taken a test on a computer. And so I was very impressed. It did really good.
Staff addition, so Mr. Isaac Juergen, which is Christy Eldred's son, he's been a student teacher for us the first 9 weeks with second grade and Ms. Richardson. Y'all, he's going to be such a great educator one day.
Yeah.
We hope we can snag him at some point. He graduates in December, and he really doesn't even want to be a coach, really. Like, I think we could push him into it.
He told me he wants to be younger elementary.
Yeah.
The kids
those male teachers don't come very often. You know, being a former administrator, you don't get those male teachers that, you know, are elementary educators very often. So, yes. Anyway, so he'll transition the rest of the semester to Mr. David. He has to be with two different for his class. So, we also recently hired Melissa Chupp. She was an elementary aide in Bowie for years and years. She has kids that come here. And to assist in the afternoons until Thanksgiving break, kind of as
so it's just a temporary position right now, because we needed it for a special ed inclusion, and we were just out of people. That sixth period class, we just are out of people. So she helps cover the office, which has been a blessing, and then she helps with that inclusion. And so she knows up front that as of right now, that's just going to be through Thanksgiving break, and then we'll reevaluate. We do have two ARDs coming up, and so that could determine that, hey, we're going to need her long term. I mean, like, this may turn into a permanent position, but really we won't know until those ARDs come up. We're anticipating that it probably will.
Yeah. One of the ARDs is a child find, which is a three-year-old in our district that was found, and he for sure is going to have to have an aide, and we just don't know what it's going to look like on how many hours a day and whatnot. And then we have a kindergarten student who's going to require an aide too once her testing is complete.
So we'll reevaluate.
So the third three-year-old
got to come here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have
for
to take them
services.
If they are. Yeah, and I think he's there. Yeah, you're going to qualify in several areas.
Okay. So 3 to 21. Mm-hmm. They're special ed.
I just figured 5 and up.
Okay.
I think Melissa's great. Everyone loves her too.
She's been a great parent for the last few years. Who will pitch in and do whatever, like, and not get paid to help out with kindergarten graduation. She's very creative.
Yes.
Not just anybody. Like, she's coming in 12 to 4.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's hard to find somebody. Hey, would you like to give up your afternoon every day to come help us out?
She's very coachable in the office. I mean, she just, I have to tell her one time, like, this is how you do this and this, and she just takes ownership and just,
and we great don't have personality.
A lot of time to be, like, telling specifics every, you know, over and over again. So, anyway, I think she'll be great. TIA testing for the semester is complete, concluded with pre-K and K a few weeks ago. Walkthroughs have began, and I've had 3 formal observations to date. By the way, did we put SIBME on our plan for calibration?
When we redo it.
Okay. So I'm 3 observations in on using our new AI that is supposed to help me with calibration since I'm the only appraiser. I've loved Karen. I call her Karen, the AI. I've loved her and I've hated her and I argue with her a lot. I haven't gotten a really good process down for combining my thoughts with her thoughts, but I usually can argue my way to get my way.
So maybe you're the Karen.
I'll be in there and I'm like, come on, Karen. And Alex's like, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm not. But I love it and I hate it. Like, I don't know how much y'all have used AI, but man, just such a great resource, but that human side of it's not there, you know, so I have to be like.
But it does give great feedback as far as students talked 78% of the time. teacher talked 92% of the time, and 4 higher order thinking questions were asked as opposed to just general yes-no knowledge, you know. So it's good feedback for the teacher to go, oh, I thought I was doing that, but Karen doesn't think so. Like,
yes. Yeah, or for example, there was something in the post-conference I was doing today that Karen caught something that was said by the teacher that I totally missed. So I asked Ms. Thomas, and I said, so Karen caught this and said that you talked about the scape, it's a strategy with the students. I said, I totally missed it. Because, you know, lots is going on and you're trying to, you know, type everything. And she was like, yeah, I referenced it twice. I said, perfect example of why I like video and doing that, because I wouldn't have had that in your evaluation last year because I missed that.
totally missed that. So anyway, it was a good example to me today. It was the first one that, wow, Karen caught something I missed. So good job, Karen. Good job, Karen. upcoming events this week. Red Ribbon Week started today, of course, with Pajama. Don't let drugs ruin your dreams. The rest are in here for you. But Pastures with Parents will be Wednesday. We anticipate the biggest crowd that we've had. So we're hoping it's come and go. Eat and goodbye.
So, I'll
be in it won't be.
260.
It probably won't be.
Good luck with that.
260 was the last count, though.
Yes.
I heard.
Yes.
We had 174 something last year. I don't know why. Why did that just stick in my head for something?
No, I think we had, like, it was close to 200, I think. But y'all just remember, we're up 10 kids. You times that by two parents. So that alone is like 30 or so, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
that's awesome.
Fire prevention assemblies, the fire department here in town will do those. We do them every year. They do such a great job with them on Wednesday during PE periods. We have core subjects this year since we split the PE classes, like, in the afternoon some. So it's been a puzzle trying to make sure we're not taking out, like, everything has to go last period, which is girls athletics and electives. We can't do any, like, programs or try not to do pep rallies, which we have to some because of games are early, you know, to try to not take away from those core classes. So it's kind of been a puzzle getting all of that done. Thursday, of course, is our Fall Fest. Okay, flip it over. There's a Red Ribbon Week thing in here. There is an October calendar here, Fall Festival. Mr. Keck is grilling burgers again. And so y'all come up. They were so good last year.
They were awesome.
Yeah, y'all come up and have a burger if you need stuff for that night. And then lastly, I have to do my EB education with y'all just really shortly. It's required. So it's Emergent Bilingual ESL program. We have one student, a seventh grader. That's it. And so this is the little PowerPoint slides. I'll just really quickly hit over. So our ESL program is content-based, which means they're not pulled out for ESL. It's served in the ELAR classroom. And Ms. Murphy is ESL certified. She got that certification this summer, I think. We had to do a waiver last year because she was not certified. She got certified this summer, so now we should be good going forward. Unless we get any more. And I'll tell you, like, Miss Rhodes has done it through the years. She's gotten certified. Christy Eldred has. So we're working on everybody getting certified ESL. So we'll be fine if somebody pops in and we don't have a waiver for them. I mean, we won't have to fill a waiver. So district TELPAS results. I have to post those for you. So he did good. He didn't get to what we call reclassify, which means you don't have to be in the program anymore. So to recap, when you're in pre-K and you start in public schools, you have to fill out what's called a home language survey. And if you put Spanish, your Spanish speaking on that home language survey for the rest of your kid's career, they have to be in the ESL program. They have to be coded that way and be certain. However, they can reclassify starting in the third grade. And reclassify means if your STAR scores are high enough and your TELPAS scores are high enough, you can reclassify. You can get out of it. Okay? Well, his is, we've never had anybody get to reclassify. So, because it's hard. Because you have to be advanced high and not just advanced on the TELPAS. So, he almost made it. He got advanced and he had to be advanced high. But I'll tell y'all, it's listening and speaking and reading and writing. What's tested on the TELPAS. And the speaking gets them. Because you have to speak into the Chromebook. And if you're Spanish speaking at home, you know, even if you speak good English, that's what's getting them is. Mm-hmm. So we brought in what's called Summit K-12. It's an online program Region 9 has to help with that. And so he does that, kind of practices for it in RTI and whatnot. But so I'm hoping he gets to reclassify because he hates it. He hates that he has to do it. And he's our only one now. So anyway, there's that. Okay. What else? The STAR scores are in there. I have to put that in there too. So we got approaches on the RLA and then math meets, which is great, you know. And then we don't have to file a waiver again. This year, first year, I don't have to file a waiver. I'm glad because Carla knows those waivers and TIL are not very user friendly. So anyway, that is it. You'll have any questions about any of that?
You have any questions about anything else? All right, we will
Motion to adjourn? Motion? Janet? Jimmy? We adjourned at, all approved, 6:49.